Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good evening to the twin sister cities of Millennium and Paragon Cities, I like to call them, City of Heroes, Champions Online. Good evening, it's Monday night. I hope you all had a wonderful Mother's Day. It's a little bit after 8 o'clock on the East Coast of the United States on planet Earth. I'm Pogo Man, and this is Paragon Radio, broadcasting live from the Paragon Radio news satellites. My voice is a little dry tonight. I don't know why. Anyway, got a lot to cover tonight. Interesting stories. I'm a little miffed. I got to get to that right away just as soon as I bring on somebody in a moment. I'll try and keep... Well, no. I'm going to go off. I'm sorry about that. Let me bring him on. Maybe he can try and keep me under control. Anyway, I'm a co-host. Some people say. I'm sorry. See, I'm so miffed I can't even talk right tonight. Some people say he's mad. Some people say he's a Viking. Some say he's Mad Viking.
I think I know a way where you can get some tension out because of the holiday today is tear the tag off your mattress day. As long as you've already...
I'm going to go to sleepies and tear the mattress, the tags off every single mattress. I'm going to wear a mask and go, I'm the mad tag, Matt Terror. I'm the mad tag terror. I'm going to bring my noise ring and go, I'm just going to run through with that, just do that, tearing the tags off everything. Go, me, you can't stop me.
If you read the fine print, you can tear the tag. You can tear the tag once you buy it. But no one knows this. Have this holiday, quote-unquote, holiday. People get the idea to tear the tag.
Okay, here's what I don't get. Technically, if you tear the tag off of anything before you buy it, it's illegal. So why do they post it just on pillows and mattresses? What is the appeal? What is the...
I'm assuming for health reasons.
Okay, that makes sense. But think about it. If you tear the tags off of shirts, the ones that have them, because some just have them printed on the back. Like a lot of the t-shirts I have these days, they're just printed on the back, which gets annoying. Because I used to like the tags, and I'm like, where, you know, because if you just have like a solid color t-shirt without it, like without a pocket, you can't find the friggin' back on the front. You're like, where the hell's the back of this thing?
I know. Now
and then you go out and somebody goes,
because then
you put it on, then you're outside and somebody goes, you know, you have your shirt on backwards. Like, how the hell can you tell? It's not a V-neck. It's just a regular t-shirt. How the hell can you tell?
Well, now you have a way to get rid of the tension.
Well, let's do a roll call, and then I'll get down to the nitty-gritty here.
We got to do this on City of Heroes first, because I think this is the first inner tube crowd.
I think this is the first inner tube audience that we've had.
Yes.
It's only May. They're in inner tubes. I've never had this. This is great. Inner tubes without water. So let's start with the inner tube crowd. We've got, let me see if I click on everybody here. I'm not going to be able to click on everybody. I don't know why. Night of the Opera.
Mm-hmm.
Cassie McKnight. Why can't I click on this? The middle one.
Muscle Magician.
Thank you. You know why? Because you're too close to me. I'm clicking on you.
Oh.
All right, so why don't you read them off? You click on
them.
All right. No, you got
Luminous,
it. Go ahead.
Luminous Starborn and Merlion. Also, we got Pogo Spring, Mint Chocolate Chup, DJ Texas.
Yep.
And I think we saw Panda Monica being mischievous.
She's over there in the back. Yep, she's over there. She's sitting on the banister. Yes, you were AFK before, and she tried to get... Oh, there they go. Mint Chocolate Chunk to try and push you down the steps while you were AFK. And I said, oh, my. Then as soon as funny, the second they tried to push you, you came back. I was laughing. I was like, isn't that the case? Second somebody tries to push somebody, they come back. And over in Millennium City and the studios of WCOC, we have yours truly, Pogo Man, Mad Viking, and the user crowd, Alan. And we have Silver Egret. We have Natalia Kromstock, and we have Mordekaiser joining us, who's holding a torch. I don't know how you do that one. How do you do that?
Hear me. I don't know.
But
how do
you hold a torch? They did?
Yeah, they did add the torches on Champions. I guess enough City of Heroes people went, okay, that's it, come on.
Yeah, if they could do it, we're going to do it. But do I have that one? How do you get that? How do you get the torch one?
I'm not sure.
How do you get the torch?
Yeah, but like I said...
Mordecai, if you hear me, how do you get the torch emote?
Yeah, but like I said, we got to give credit. This is the first inner tube crowd.
Yeah, this is a big... Yeah, but where do you get it? I mean, what is it called? It's not just... Now we're looking for this torch one. It's free.
Yeah.
Okay, great. It's free. Okay, hold on. I'm going to try this one. Hold on one moment.
Oh, no. Well, Pogoman, guys, yeah, Pogoman knows the torch on City of Heroes. He's
I got it.
That
there we
years.
Go.
Yeah.
I've been doing that for years in City of Heroes. Now I can do it in both of them. And
yes.
Hopefully the fire sprinklers won't go off in the WCOC studios. There we go. Yes, I do that for Vigilance. It's a twofold thing. It's until we definitely get back City of Heroes, because we're playing over here, but it's not 100%. We have it back officially. We've had it back. But anytime they can still shut it off. And then it's like he's doing it for Thunder X, the passing. I do it for all the members we lost since the game shut down. We got, and it's come back. Because we've lost some members, you know, like when the game came back along the way, when I was doing Save COH Radio in Paragon Chat, we lost quite a few members of the community along the way. And so some people joined us. Oh, and Natalia's holding a candle. Okay.
Okay.
Can you burn that candle at both ends?
I don't know.
And if you do, does it burn twice as fast? I'm just wondering.
Well,
that was a Marx Brothers thing. Like, no. It was a Marx Brothers thing.
Oh,
Slamrock says no.
Diopro,
Slamrock. Slamrock.
Will know that unless Night of Diopro is Queen related.
Right. Well, there was a thing they were in a classroom, and he goes, remember, you can't burn a candle at both ends. And then out of his pocket, Harpo pulls out a candle and lit it at both ends. He goes, huh, you can. Well, what do I know? I'm wrong. What do you know, huh? There you go. It's just funny. It's like, he's got a candle lit in both ends in the pocket of his jacket, and the jacket's not going on fire. What kind of jacket is that? Hold on, but Slamrock in the Coalition in City of Heroes says, no, Mad Viking is talking normal volume. He says, Pogo is just that much louder. Thank you. I got a big mouth. He's saying I got a big mouth. Thank you so much.
Well, everyone's waiting for us to talk about the ultra big news.
That would be what I'm pissed about? I know. Before we get to the sad news, let me just get to what... Because I've been saying this for like 20 minutes, how pissed I am. So my SUV, I had surgery. I couldn't drive for a while, and it was sitting. So it needed some repair work because it sat through the winter. It was one thing, something. Now it needs a fuel tank. The problem was we found out. I got the car when it was brand, like it was a 2004. I bought in December 2003. So I got it brand new, okay? Literally, like when I pulled out of the dealership, there were 11 miles on the thing. So you know they drove that thing around a test lap, put it on the truck, brought it to the dealership, did what they had to do, blah, 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 blah. Okay? I mean, I put double the mileage from the dealership to my house. Okay? So to find the fuel tank, we put the year in. It's showing a different fuel tank. It turns out, after 6 months, they changed some of the part, like the fuel tank. It was a mid-season or a mid-year change. Great. Turns out we had to order a 1998. I have a Chevy Blazer. So instead of a 2004 Chevy Blazer, we had to order a fuel tank for a 1998. What a pain in the ass. So they sent one last week from a car parts place. The valves on it, one was cracked, one was dented. Like, didn't you check this thing before you put it in? You know? So I had to send it back. Got a refund. No big deal. But I'm like, well, I'm not going to order from them again. But time is running out. I have an event Wednesday night I'm trying to get to. But I need this thing fixed now. Now we're running out of time. I had to spend 80 extra bucks to get the part here today. Okay? Turns out there's a hole in the bottom. Because after they had this thing, it turns out it needs a vent valve. Here we go, kids. Get ready. Cover your virgin ears to Advanced Auto Parts. After I spent an additional $80 to make sure this part got here on Monday from Friday, do you think you would consider knowing that there's a hole for a vent valve on the bottom of this fucking thing, that you would consider going, he didn't order a vent valve. Do you think we should ask if he needs one? Or just consider, just in case he doesn't know he needs one, nah, fuck it. We won't suggest that. He's just ordering $80, you know, for the car part. He's paying $280 for this thing. Fuck it. We won't suggest that at all. He would have known. Are you sure? Because we suggested all these other parts he doesn't need. We suggested a muffler. What the fuck does a muffler have to do with a fuel tank? We don't know. It isn't even attached to the fuel tank. We even suggested wipers. What the fuck do wipers have to do with a fuel tank? Holy shit. No. Let's not suggest the peeps he needs. Fuck you, assholes. Are you fucking kidding me? So now, I had ordered the part today. Went to AutoZone. Had the part there, but unfortunately, it's from a third-party dealer. The fastest I'm getting this part is Friday. I'm renting a car for a night. All because of these assholes. So, you know fucking what, kids? Guess what, these assholes? All these assholes who fucked me over the last 3 weeks made me spend like $500 extra for this part because they all fucked up. Guess what they all did? You know what happens? You know what happens? So all these assholes will piss me off when I'm trying to rush and I had plenty of time to begin with, but they waste my time. You know what we do to those people? You know what happens to these people? You
just what happened?
In case you didn't fucking hear it, one more time, you know what happens?
They made the list.
They made the list. We haven't done the list in a while. Advanced Auto, carparts.com. You assholes just made the fucking list.
Feel better now?
Yeah, it always feels good to put somebody on the list. You know what?
Okay.
I don't remember who's on the list because I don't actually keep the list. Jericho, I hope, does. Our Cyber Jericho, I hope, is keeping the list somewhere. But, you know, yeah, it's okay.
All right. Well, everyone wants to...
yes, I know.
People are actually posting the list.
And
yes.
I have it. I have the story.
Yes. Here we go.
Okay, hold on. Trust me, when I was growing up, one of the first comics I read regularly was the Teen Titans.
Yep, same here.
From DC. And that was written by Marv Wolfman and an amazing artist, George Perez. And when I heard he was sick, memories of my childhood came flooding back because my dad walked in one day with a stack of comic books for me. And it was the first 12 issues. Of the Tale of the Teen Titans, the new Tale of Teen Titans, their secondary series. And I swear to God, on the weekends, I would read, I didn't have any of the comic books at the time, I would read this stack on the weekend religiously. Like if I had a week off from school, I would sit there and read them over and over again. Because back then, they didn't have these things like, you know, bi-month, bi-weekly comic books or whatever. And, you know, we couldn't afford comic books, so I would just reread the ones I had. You know, when I could afford them, when I started getting X-Men, I would reread the shit out of the early episodes. They're like, how do you remember what happened in the early days? Because I couldn't afford them. You know, they didn't have 10 different X issues. We were just trying to fly through them all. We weren't getting like 30 comics a month. It was just one or two issues a month I was getting. And that was it. Okay? That's all.
It was the George Perez era that gave us the Titans that we know today, referring to Robin/ Nightwing, Wonder Girl, Kid/ Wally West.
Yes. Go on. Cyborg. Changeling.
Changeling.
Beast Boy.
Raven.
Right.
And the ever-famous Deathstroke, Terra.
No, you're forgetting Kid Flash. You didn't say Kid Flash.
I said Kid Flash Wally West.
You said there was only six. There were seven of them. Wonder Girl.
Yeah.
You say Wonder Girl?
I said all the Teen Titans.
Right. She was one of the Teen Titans.
Right. And also
in
Terra.
The comic book, she was. Right. Terra for a while. Right. Terra, which gave us that awesome storyline. That amazing storyline. The Judas Contract, which is the equivalent of the Phoenix, Dark Phoenix saga. And let me tell you something.
Which would never fly now.
Oh, no. And even I got the DVD, their animated version of that. That doesn't fly. I was like, nah. It doesn't hold up. But let me tell you something. In the 80s, Marvel and DC had two comic books. They each had a comic book that rivaled each other in sales. For Marvel, it was Uncanny X-Men. For DC, it was the New Teen Titans.
Mm-hmm.
It was the New Teen Titans while Wolfman and Perez were on them. Once they left or they were asked to leave, sales dropped. But they were there for most of it.
Mm-hmm.
Ready for this one? The culmination of this epic rivalry, New Teen Titans versus Uncanny X-Men, written by Chris Claremont.
Right.
My one time I got to go to New York Comic Con was a year before COVID-19 hit. One Mr. Chris Claremont signed my copy of it. Yeah.
Now let's not also forget that he was also a Marvel as well.
That's
he
right.
was the for the yes, Avengers, and for those who want to know which the time period of that one. Well,
He broke in 1974. He broke in with Marvel's Astonishing Tales number 25. I'm going to read this out of order. I didn't read the whole thing yet. I'll read it later.
Okay.
He broke the industry with Marvel's Astonishing Tales number 25. And from there, he was one of the primary artists of Marvel's Kung Fu Craze with a stint on Sons of the Tiger and Deadly Hands of Kung Fu. He and writer Bill Mantlo also created Marvel's first Puerto Rican superhero, White Tiger. However, Perez's first breakout run came on the Avengers in the late 70s and early 80s. Perez established himself one of the best artists that had ever been on the book, alongside writers Jim Shooter and David McElney. Perez's stint on the Avengers made him one of the most popular superstars in the industry. Perez was so prolific that he started working for DC Comics while he was still on the Avengers. His skills made him a natural fit for DC's Justice League of America series. Regardless, Perez rose to even greater fame alongside writer Marv Wolfman on the New Teen Titans. Wolfman and Perez put together the definitive run on the title and established Dick Grayson's transition from Robin into Nightwing. They also co-created Raven, Starfire, Cyborg, Deathstroke, Jericho, we've got to mention.
Oh, yeah.
And numerous other characters. Yes, we've got Jericho. In 1985, Wolfman and Perez collaborated on a 12-part crossover event miniseries. Well, actually, they call them maxi series in DC. Crisis on Infinite Earths, not to be confused with the TV version. This was the story that was designed to simplify DC's convoluted continuity. And during the series, The Flash, Barry Allen, Supergirl, and other heroes gave their lives to save the universe. It also led to one of Perez's most memorable covers. Superman holding Supergirl, crying. That was a great cover. Afterwards, Perez was given the opportunity to write and illustrate DC's Wonder Woman reboot. It was a complete modernization of the Amazon heroine, as Perez added new characters to Diana's mythos, including the new cheetah, Barbara Minerva. Although Perez stepped down as the artist after 2 years, he remained on board as the writer for an additional 3 years. Perez returned to Marvel in 1991 to work on Infinity Gauntlet with writer Jim Starlin. This was the story that inspired Avengers Infinity War and Avengers Endgame. Unfortunately, Perez was unable to finish the miniseries himself due to scheduling issues. 1998, Perez made his triumphant return to the Avengers alongside writer Kirk Busiek. Perez's three-year stint on the title once again elevated The Avengers into one of Marvel's top-selling books. It also revived talk of Perez's dream project, a crossover between The Avengers and the Justice League. Perez and writer Jerry Conway had previously been assigned to work on that project in 1981. However, disagreements between Marvel and DC killed the crossover for over two decades. A new deal was reached in 2002 that allowed Busiek and Perez to make JLA Avengers a reality. The four-issue crossover was released between 2003 and 2004. Perez also had a highly publicized stint at CrossGen as the artist of CrossGen Chronicles and Solus. He was also the co-chairman of the Hero Initiative, a charity dedicated to helping veteran comic book creators who had fallen on hard times. In 2011, Perez relaunched Superman for DC's New 52 reboot alongside artists Jesus Marino and Nicola Scott. Regardless, Perez left the book soon after over creative issues with DC. Boom Studios published Perez's final creator-owned series, Sirens, in 2014. In 2019, Perez announced that he was retiring from the industry due to his declining health. Perez's memorial service will be held on Sunday, May 22, at MegaCon Orlando. Details about the service will be announced later, but all fans at MegaCon are welcome to attend. Superhero Hype, that's where I'm reading this from, extends its condolences to Perez's family, friends, and fans all over the world. Please feel free to share your memories of George Perez in comment section below, but I did want to read, might as well read the rest of this from the beginning now. Scrolling up. Okay, so going back, last December, comic book artist George Perez announced that he had been diagnosed with inoperable pancreatic cancer. Rather than prolong the inevitable, Perez and his wife Carol decided to forego additional treatment in order to enjoy their remaining time together. Yesterday, that time came to an end, or last week rather, Perez passed away at the age of 67, just over 1 month shy of his 68th birthday. In a statement, a friend of the Perez family wrote, "George passed away yesterday, peacefully at home with his wife of 490 months and family by his side. He was not in pain and knew he was very, very loved. We were all very much grieving, but at the same time, we are so incredibly grateful for the joy he brought to our lives. He loved all of you. He loved hearing your posts and seeing the drawings you sent and the tributes you made. He was deeply proud to have brought so much joy to so many." Constance says, "Thank you, all of you, for the love and support you've shown George through all this. It meant the world to him." And it's a very small print article. I try clicking on it. It goes, "Nothing to see here." It's a Twitter reply. So it says here, Perez was born in New York on June 9th, 1954, and he began drawing at only 5 years old with a desire to become an artist. Over the years, Perez honed a realistic style and an incredible ability to bring detail to his illustrations. And, okay, there we go. And that's where it picks up from there, 1974.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go.
And now to give you an idea, like I said, I was going to mention which Avengers were there when he was doing the drawings. Hank Pym was Yellow Jacket, so you had all the Yellow Jacket drama with the Wasp. You had the occasional team-up of the original Beast in his original look, original blue fur look, let me rephrase that, and Wonder Man with the red jacket. Iron Man was back with the silver circles on the shoulders and just did the recovery from Demon in a Bottle storyline. Let's see. Vision had that super cowl on his.
Well, let's see. I'm looking at the cover here. I see Ant-Man as a giant. Iron Man looks red and yellow. Beast is blue. Well, it's a whole cover like Avenger. It's like collector's item first issue. It says Scarlet Witch is on, well, on the front cover. I'm going by the front cover because that would be the main team, right? It's, I see Scarlet Witch, Thor with a beard, Cap is there, Machine Man, Iron Man, Ant-Man, Beast. It's kind of there. He's kind of halfway. Trying to see who else is there. Hawkeye is there.
Hawkeye's always there.
Yeah, somehow he's always there, yes, in his purple outfit.
And they just,
no, I just find it funny.
Some people realized they were listening about Neil Adams. Yeah, that's last week's.
No. Neil Adams was last week. This is George Perez this week, yes. Hey, have you lost the inner tube club?
I think that something popped up, and as in the chat, and I was like, "Oh, gotta get that." You know what I'm saying? No. You can't fault them if it's a bad situation. You know.
If they're listening, they're fine. If they're listening, cool. Sorry. If they're listening, Pogo Spring had to go too.
No,
my sidekick left.
No, that I do
what?
Know why. That's a reason I'll on a private.
Oh, okay. Never mind. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, Neil Adams we covered last week. Trust me, we covered that in detail last week. Yeah, we're only allowed to lose one comic creator a week. Sorry. And no more. That's it. I've had it.
Yeah. It was just scary because now I'm going like, okay, what? Who's the next one they were talking about? Marv Wolfman? It's like, no!
No! Not Wolfman. Oh, God, no. Holy mackerel. Don't even.
But, and once again, you mentioned he, helped with the JLA, that means he had some Superman. So I'm going like,
yep.
Neil Adams and George Perez had a chance to see Christopher Reeve, Superman, right at the right time.
Yeah. Because Christopher Reeve, you got Superman. Yeah, because he redid, well, that was Superman the New 52, so.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the JLA.
Remember, Batman was in the black and gray with the yellow emblem during that time period.
Right. Yes.
Well, it depended on who's doing it. You know, it was black and gray or black and gray blue.
Right. Or blue. Right. Or, yeah, or gray and blue. Right. Well, the reason they did that, it's because on the newsprint they used to use, all black didn't show up. It smeared.
Right.
So,
and those who remember the little dots, so they can do the blend into colors. This was
right.
Way before we got.
Right. The machine. Right, the printing machines they used to print the comic books on, even the newspaper, they wanted Batman to be in all black. It's just they couldn't, because to do all black, it would the paint, the color would smear and make him look blob, like a blob.
Yeah, Pac-Man goes.
So somebody suggested, what if we use black and gray? And they said, that'll work, and they tried it. So.
Yep. Yeah, the Pac-Man goes, the dots are white, the Gray Hulk turned green. Yep, correct.
Right, and actually, believe it or not, those first couple of issues, they were experimenting with the colors. Like, he turned different colors on purpose. They were experimenting. They didn't know what color they wanted him to be. They wanted him to be gray. And then they made him purple, and then they tried other things. That's what they said. And then they finally made him green. And green was the color that, apparently, if you get superpowers from gamma radiation, it makes you green. Why? I don't know. Mordecai. Oh, yeah, Frank Miller. He's still around. Yeah, he's still around. Wow.
And let's not forget, during the 70s, they had the super-size X-Men Titans. It wasn't the regular comic size. No, it was the super-size. You remember those?
Right, right. Were those annuals?
No. Remember, this was X-Men and Teen Titans.
Oh, okay.
They supersized
right,
that one. They also supersized Superman versus Flash with the race.
Oh, they were the big size comics. You can put them in they don't fit in the comic book bags.
Right.
The regular one, those big ones. Yes, yeah. I had. Yes. It was like, good Lord. Like Superman versus Muhammad Ali or something like that, yeah. Spider-Man versus Superman. That's when they crossed over.
It was Spider-Man and Batman, if memory serves me right.
I know there was Spider-Man versus Superman, and Spider-Man was punching him in the stomach, getting the best of him. And then Spider-Man goes, oh, gee, I better stop this. And he hardened his density. And Spider-Man kept punching him, and then he broke his hands.
Like, ow.
Yeah. He was like, holy crap. So.
I have a whole lot of people deja vu listening to the Neil Adams one.
Well.
Fine. Yes.
Go listen to that one.
Well, you can listen to both, you know, just, you know.
Just at the same time? Good luck.
Yeah. No, we won't. No. No. George Perez was not there for the foils.
Oh, God, no. I think that's why he quit. I think that was one of the reasons. This is what I heard. I took a lettering class with a guy who lettered, like, a lot of books in the 90s. And he goes, basically, it got to the point comic book companies were publishing any book, just anything. They were just trying anything. He goes, if it made a book, they were just trying it. It was ridiculous. He goes, somehow along the way, it just got to the point. And he goes, and they were just trying the stupidest ideas, like for covers. It was just any gimmick. He goes, I felt bad for collectors because most collectors didn't have common sense. They were just collecting everything because they thought it might be the next big thing. He goes, and that's what the problem was. And because of this, comic book companies were just trying everything. Because they're like, see, the collectors are just buying everything.
Meanwhile, who knew?
Okay.
Best example.
Yes.
Who knew New Mutants 99, the one before the last one, would be the moneymaker
right. Because
of Deadpool?
Yeah.
If you remember the 90s, you did not think Deadpool was going to be the big guy.
Yeah, exactly. The pain in the ass, the merc with the mouth was going to be the big, you know, was going to be the one who was going to be the guy to come along. And then, New Mutants became X-Factor. X-Factor?
Mm-hmm.
X-Force.
Mm-hmm.
X-Factor, right, wait. X-Force, right. X-Factor was the original X-Men team. And it became a detective agency. That's when Peter David took over.
Right.
And let me tell you, he has stories about X-Factor was like, whenever there was a crossover, that was like, okay. And he got pissed. It was like, our stories are running long. We'll just carry over into X-Factor. He's like, no, I got a story to tell. I'm going to tell them my book. Why the fuck? He goes, why the hell is everything just carrying over into my book? Are these characters not involved? Well, they're a detective agency. What would they be? They're mutants. They got superpowers. Why are they not involved in the fight?
But going back with
he goes,
Brett,
I,
let's see. Well, like I said, we had the Judas contract. The first villain on Teen Titans, if memory serves me right, was Ravager, one of the sons of Deathstroke, who tried to recreate what made Deathstroke, and it just went into an overdose.
Right.
And Deathstroke, therefore,
I was also
after
thinking,
that, swore revenge.
I was thinking Brother Blood. Oh, also I heard the new season of Titans is coming soon. Brother Blood is going to be the villain of the season. So, there you go.
Now, the question is, will they try to do, on this season, the Judas contract in tribute?
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. That's going to be interesting to find out.
You know, I would say if you're going to do that, you got to pull in Doom Patrol, if the live-action Doom Patrol, because they got a Cyborg. Don't ask me how.
I know, that's the whole thing, I know.
But if they're going to do it, let's do it right. Somehow, let's do it right. I know, that's a test for Hollywood to get it accurate. And when with the storylines that Wolfman and Perez put out, you wouldn't be able to get that nowadays. I mean, go back to the Avengers. Yeah. This is the Yellow Jacket time period where he's just pretty much losing it. And this is where we find out he is abusing his wife at that time, being the Wasp.
Right.
And you actually saw there was a panel where he backhands her.
You know, that panel wasn't supposed to be, but he was supposed to stop himself, and they just went with it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't supposed to be a backhand. He was doing something else. And they took it as a backhand. They screwed up that whole thing.
You know, but you just boom. If there was ever a panel that caught your eye and just like, what?
Oh, yeah, it was that one. But I've heard stories that the way it was described, it wasn't like a supposed to be a bat. It wasn't supposed to be like a like the way it was drawn. It's definitely a backhand, but the way it was described, it wasn't supposed to be him backhand slapping her. So
supposed to be worse, the fist.
No. It wasn't supposed to be him hitting her at all. I forget what it was supposed to be. That's just it. It wasn't supposed to be.
Also, another controversy, back to the Judas Project. Tara was like 13, 14.
Right.
Getting it on with Deathstroke.
Obviously, he lied about her age, but... or she lied about her age, rather. I'm sorry.
So it was like... Those two scenes would never have been hit. In this day and age.
No, not nowadays. No, not nowadays. No. But those are classic. Those are classic scenes. You know about today. You remember them today.
Yeah, it pushed the plot. But what a push.
Wow. Oh, yeah, God. Yeah.
And, of course, that led to the ultimate suicide of Terra.
Yes. He screwed with her brain. He fucked her mind.
Mm-hmm. And what I found interesting, during the Dark Metal universe, They actually did it. Well, anyone who's seen the Dark Metal universe of DC,
yes,
it's their version of What If. What If?
Yes,
Terra
yes.
Lives.
I love those stories. Yes. Yeah. I think I have them. I should have them all. But yeah, what
yeah.
happened? It's been a while since I read those ones, but go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they did, you know, what happened if Terra survived?
Okay.
Oh, damn. That mental
My
might.
Favorite of those. Oh, my favorite of those. I can't remember the actual name of the story. They captured Bruce Wayne, right? And they had him, like, they really fucked him over in that one. He's, like, mostly a machine now. He's hooked up to, like,
Asriel.
His spine. And
yeah, Asriel Batman.
Right. And he's Asriel Batman has captured Bruce Wayne. And he's hooked up to this machine, and he's just mostly a machine now. And his spine and his skull and his head are just all that's left of him. And his team finally comes in and rescues him. They kill Asriel. He's left. And he goes, why were you so weak? It took you this long to rescue me. And he takes over the tower's defenses, kills the rescue team. That's basically Team Bruce Wayne's Team Batman. And somehow he incorporates a suit of armor to enclose around him. That's all that's left is like this vertebrae and this skull. That's him.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes out as like this metal Asriel suit. And I'm like, holy shit. It's basically take the cool stories you know, put the darkest twists you can on the endings.
And
like really
now you
dark sides, dark twists.
You also mentioned Perez came back for Final Crisis.
Yes.
And those last two pages was classic George Perez. The big grouping. Of all
oh,
the
yeah.
heroes.
Yes. Well, you got to have that at the end of the whole thing. So.
Well, that's his signature thing. Large groups of superheroes. That was his signature.
Yes.
He knew how to pack a page, or in this case, two pages.
Oh, God, yeah, with everybody. It's like, do I have everybody? Is everybody in for a photo shoot? Okay.
I was like, wait,
the
wait
Christ
a minute,
on Infinite.
You forgot Batmite. Okay, we'll throw in Batmite. Okay, here we go.
we'll put him in somewhere. He's under here. Yeah, he's there. Okay, great.
That's his foot. We didn't want to show the whole thing. We'll just do the foot.
That's his ear. That's his ear right there in the top corner. His ear's in there. Like he's running in. Okay, good.
And
there you go.
I have to joke. If they were anything to do with stretching powers, oh, he had a ball. Because
oh, God.
I remember the final
oh, this
crash.
Is interesting.
Elongated Man and Plastic Man and the Metal Men. Oh, God. They're all over the place.
Are you ready for this one? Wait, hold on. Mm-hmm. Via EW, the Hero Initiative, in conjunction with DC Marvel, is reprinting the long out of print JLA Avengers crossover from 2003-2004. Perez illustrated this dream project alongside his former Avengers writer and collaborator Kurt Busiek. The new edition will collect all four issues of the miniseries with 64 pages of bonus content. Hold on. Oh, no, just will be strictly limited. 7,000 copies. So it'll be likely to be highly sought after when it is re-released this spring. It ships in March. So it's, wait. So why the hell are they just getting this news now?
I don't know.
Oh, great. I saw this story. It came out February 17th. They just sent me the story now. Great. You sent me a story that came out. Great, which means it's out of print.
Yeah.
Great, thanks. So it's probably gone already.
You can probably find it on eBay.
Yeah, for like $500, $5,000.
True.
Let me check Amazon. See if there's anything left.
But
trust me,
let's see.
After what I just spent on my car, I don't have the money for it.
Yeah, well,
like, I was hoping,
okay, but in the recent case of how he captured the screen was at the ending of Final Crisis. Okay, I don't have to worry about hearing spoilers.
Okay. Ready? Hold on.
Ready.
On Amazon.
Amazon.
300, the limited edition one?
Yep.
One left in stock. $300.
Who?
What's funny, though, is the one from 2008, they have it listed as 2008, $63.63.
Okay.
But hold on. I'm trying to figure out something here. Hold on.
Is the one with 300 could be a hardback?
No.
But going back to what I was saying while you're doing the research, the Final Crisis, if you, the ending, Alexander Luthor, you know, half face burnt, you know, because he just got hit with the Joker. Lex Luger going like, you made a few mistakes. You did this, you did that. But the biggest mistake, you didn't let the Joker play. Turning for the brief moment, Joker saving the universe. Of all people, the Joker.
Yeah. Oh, that's when the villains come in, right?
I
that's
said
when the heroes
Luger,
are at
not
number.
Luger. Luthor. Okay, because I said Luther instead of Luthor, and people keep on thinking of saying Lex Luger. But anyway, that brief moment where the Joker actually saves the DC universe.
Yes. That was the one issue. Yeah, that was the issue when the villains were like, shit, we gotta do something. It's our universe too. Wait, DJ Texas is saying, you said Luger, I heard it.
It happens every time. I can go and have stuff being blown off my table. And just to emphasize it, and people still say it said Luger.
Nope. I don't know.
It happens every time.
I do. Okay. Anyway, this weekend was Mother's Day. How was you? Hope everyone had a nice Mother's Day. For those of you who celebrate with your mothers. For those of you who can't, for...
Oh,
bad reasons. I'm sorry. What?
7 minutes to go.
I know. This is a big topic. This should take a whole hour. This should take
at
least a full
hour.
It's a big
half.
Deal. Neil Adams took quite some time. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, when the show starts.
I keep doing that.
We started at 8. Right. We started at 8, though. Right. Mm-hmm. But this should take at least 53 minutes. This should take.
Yeah.
You know, like I said earlier, there were a couple of influences, you know, a couple of guys, Neil Adams, you know, growing up on comic books, there were a couple of guys, Neil Adams, George Perez, Moore Wolfman, Chris Claremont, you know, if you're reading the right comic books, if you're reading the right ones, you know, those guys. They should be influencing you. Those guys writing the stories. And what's funny is we remember, isn't it funny? We remember those stories. Even that, we remember the stories from those guys. You know, nothing in between. We know the stories now, but the stories in between, it's like you kind of remember the footnotes. Like, oh yeah, this happened and that happened afterwards, but after they left, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, you remember this and then blah, 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 blah. But especially with the X-Men, it took a while, you know. But now, like with the Conan, actually, I wanted to mention with Marvel. I've been waiting for this to come out. The multiverse role-playing game I mentioned a while ago, if you remember that.
Yeah.
The 616 role-playing system. The playtest rulebook finally came out. I picked it up this weekend. And what's interesting is when you make a character, you get a power set.
Ah.
Okay. You can take powers. Now, hold on. You take power sets. All right. And from those power sets, as you go up, you get your powers from the power sets. Okay.
Right.
Tell me if that, now it depends. Now, the more power sets you take, the less powers outside the power sets you can take. Tell me if that doesn't sound familiar. Because now I'm reading this and going, wait a minute. If history sounds familiar, originally City of Heroes was supposed to be a Marvel role-playing game.
Mm-hmm.
And at the last second, Marvel bailed out. Cryptic decided, hey, we play Champions Online with our own campaign. Let's make it, let's use that called City of Heroes. Da, 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 da. And now I find it funny because now,
because now
NC Soft owns it. Technically, the game isn't around. And this whole time, they've been working on their own tabletop role-playing game. And wait, and I'm sitting going, wait, City of Heroes, when they were around, used power set system. What if we did that for our role-playing game? Who's going to stop us?
Now, Champions was meant to be a Marvel game. City of Heroes were the ones who beat Marvel in the lawsuit.
Right, because the judge says, well, wait a minute, it's your own guys who are making, right, because they complained about the costume creator.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, wait a minute, but it's your own employees making the costumes. Therefore, these costumes now belong to City of Heroes. And on top of that, now for a year, in all of your comics, you have to give City of Heroes a free full-page ad. And include that free page ad is a free month of playing time. What? And every player went, somebody beat the Marvel lawyers. I think it was the best when, there was a comic book called X. It was just X, right? It was an independent comic book called X, The Last Man, or something like that. The Marvel attorneys tried to sue them by saying Marvel Comics has a copyright on the letter X. What? Yeah, that's what they said, and they brought it to the court, to the judges at the courts, and it just says, no, Marvel, no one can have a copyright on a letter of the alphabet. You can't have copyright on the letter of the language we speak.
Those who know those who know the Champion Stan and Lou episodes, I did put that in one of the episodes a while back ago.
What, did they sue the letter X? Did they try to copyright the letter X?
You can use the letter X, but you cannot put the X with another term that could represent a Marvel team.
Right, that's what they did. It was just called, the comic book was just called X. That's all it was, and that's why they did it like that. It was just called X. And the comic book was went for a couple of years. It was just funny. It was just but I just love the fact they tried to sue City of Heroes and they lost big time.
This was before Disney. Who knows what would have happened if Disney was brought in.
Disney probably would have bought City of Heroes and had advertising at the beginning of each of their fucking movies like City of Heroes should have done.
I just had a bad image of Statement going, it's a small world after all. It's like, no!
Think about it. We could have City of Hero World at Disney. That would have been cool.
Like I said, I just have a bad image of Statesman singing It's a Small World.
No, well, hear me out on this.
All right.
They used to have 20,000 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea was a ride at Disney when I was a kid. Yeah, okay?
Correct.
You're on a Nautilus, and all of a sudden, you're attacked by this giant octopus, right? And you see the squid and the tentacles, blah, blah, blah. Instead of that, you're on Luska attacks. You're on a submarine or a boat ride, and all of a sudden, the tentacles of Luska come up out of the water.
Well, let's not forget Sally.
See?
Let's not forget Sally, the head pop.
Right,
up.
You see Sally in the distance. Right, you're going to like the City of Heroes water cruise. You're going around, you see Sally, you're taking a water cruise around the City of Heroes. You see in the distance, you see all the different areas of the City of Heroes.
Dexter goes spaceman with Mickey ears.
Someone's there you
gonna
go.
Make that tune. Someone's going to make that tune now. You watch. As Rain would say.
He's States Mickey. States Mouth. Where's Alto? He's going to make this. Yes, and congratulations, Alto. Congratulations, DJ Chester, on winning honorable mentions at the costume contest that was delayed a week. They got it off. They finally got it off this week. They were two of the honorable mention winners of the Legion of Doofuses. My aluminum foil chef costume didn't even... I thought it was a cool idea. Think about it. See, aluminum foil chef. He's made of aluminum foil.
Challenge accepted.
What happened? Who said it?
Mint Chocolate Chunk just said, challenge accepted.
Okay. He's going to make Statesman with Mickey Mouse ears. Okay. And you'll wear it on. He will wear it for the show next week. Okay. Some form of Statesman and Mickey Mouse, some fusion of Statesman and Mickey Mouse in a costume for the show for next week. You have a week.
Oh, God. Got back alley Goofy. Well, gosh.
I'll hit you with my big metal glove. What does this thing do? Oh, this hurts.
And once you get hit with the knock, you know, the knock back or the knock up, you get him, you hear the...
And Minnie as Miss Liberty.
Oh, it's that
I'm not
time.
Doing any wishes tonight. Oh, there you go. I was waiting for that one. I was waiting for a Donald Duck reference.
Yeah,
DJ Texas says, Posse Duck. No, not on the CL. You could do it on either game. Actually, no, it would make sense to do it on City of Heroes. Here's City of Heroes characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, do it on City of Heroes. We're talking about City of Heroes.
Yeah.
Do it on City of Heroes. These are City of Heroes characters. Why would you do it on Champions Online? That's just silly.
All right.
Do it on City of Heroes.
And now to bring out something that George Perez will probably not be in, for it is that time once again.
Yes, I can most assure you, when I open, okay, my minions are going, the intern bots are going into the ancient tome. The ancient tomb. They're going to. Oh my God! I sound like the Rock from Saturday Night Live. He's going to the tomb to get the tome.
I'll be on mute for a second.
Right. I can assure you, Neil Adams, George Perez, and Marv Wolfman have never written any of these characters that I'm about to read from this this tome. Right, the tome and the tomb. Right, there we go. Good Lord, now I know how The Rock did. He did that on Saturday Night Live, actually. He had to say this line, and he screwed it up. I went into the tome. No, I went into the tomb to get the tome. That's what it is. It's like anybody can make that mistake. Yes, they went to the tomb to get the tome. And this ancient tome of ancient text. Who was that? Oh, Goofy Rocco. Okay, enough of that. We're serious business to tend to. Through the annals of history. We've had really cool heroes. You know, most of the X-Men. The Avengers. The New Teen Titans. The Justice League. The good ones. Not the ones from the 80s, no. Not those guys. Most of them would probably be in this book I'm about to mention. But then we've had heroes like the 80s Justice League International. You know, those heroes you forget. But these guys make you go, how the hell did they get even put into a comic book? The Legion of Doofuses, for example. These are the half-baked heroes from comic book history. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you members of the League of Regrettable Superheroes. Heroes, heroes. See, we need an echo. Okay. We shall start by going way back to the Golden Age, to 1945.
I'm just saying, if you actually find a George Perez one, I will be shocked.
I am not looking for one. If I do find one, I'll go, oh, God, I need a drink after that. I did that. Just killed my throat before I have to read. Okay. So this one was created by Bob Fujitani. Debuted in Gold Medal Comics, number 1, Cambridge House, 1945. Possible additional superpowers are super millinery, and couch surfing. I like this. A quote is, I'm going to show you the consequences of your crimes. I am speaking of the one, the only, Captain Truth. As superhero costumes go, most of Captain Truth's outfit probably wouldn't raise an eyebrow. If anything, it's understated, bare-chested and bare-limbed. The young captain was practically dressed down for crime fighting. In his combination of shorts, boots, gloves, and long flowing cape. An outfit like that is the hey, I'm reading here. An outfit like that is a superhero equivalent of sweatpants and a ratty t-shirt. What really puts the ensemble over the top is enormous musketeer hat complete with oversized feather. The origin of Captain Truth's flamboyant costume and whether it had anything to do with his tremendous strength or ability to fly remains untold. Indeed, not much background was given during the character's sole appearance. What we do know is that Captain Truth, a.k.a. The Power Boy, is in fact Ken Elliott. And like many superheroes, he's an orphan. But where other orphan superheroes get adopted by kindly strangers, or at least have a family fortune to fall back on, Ken lives in poverty without parents or guardians. After being evicted from his tenement, he finds himself homeless. Although our glimpse into Captain Truth's civilian life is brief, it's unusual because it's so close to the dirty streets. Most other superheroes of the day were adventuring on fantastic planets or leaping from rooftops. I can speak tonight. Ken Elliott's world was full of poverty, hungry families, broken-hearted children, and ramshackle homes. In fact, Captain Truth's real power may reside in his social conscience. Over the course of his story, he cheers for the raising of his decrepit homes so that it can be replaced by safer, cleaner, low-rent housing. Later, he fulfills a young friend's wish that his father, caught up in crime because he's desperate to feed his family, would abandon his criminal career. Also, he rescues a tungsten shipment vital to America's war effort. Just so we know, Captain Truth can multitask. Along the way, Captain Truth finds time to whip up a stirring audiovisual presentation showing how the war effort depends on everyone pulling together, even ex-crooks. Unfortunately, although Captain Truth always kept up his optimism, he couldn't keep up his popularity. The closest he experienced to his second appearance was a reprint of his singular adventure 17 years after his debut. Okay, so apparently he had one issue.
He was truthful.
That's right. And the truth hurts sometimes. Okay, next up. This one was created by Dick Giordano. Debuted in Six Gun Heroes, number 59. That's Six Gun Heroes, number 59, okay, in Charlton Comics, October 1960. Question for you. How many guns does he own? So many guns. Matter of fact, his quote, no, it's 1960. His quote, "Get back in the train, President Grant. They're after you." I'm talking about none other than Gunmaster.
Okay.
Timmy. I swear, he's dressed like a cowboy, too. Timid, bespectacled Clay Boone is despised by the woman he loves because of his cowardice. If only he could be more like that daring masked stranger who appears in the tiny old west town of Rawhide in times of danger. Unbeknownst to his would-be lady love, Clay Boone, spoiler alert, is that masked hero. Rawhide. Oh, you knew that was coming as soon as I said the name of the town. Is that masked hero, the daring duelist known as Gunmaster, hiding behind his seemingly telling civilian career as an apprentice gunsmith. Boone is actually an avowed pacifist who only unholsters his shooters when all other attempts at peacemaking fail. Shy on superpowers, Gunmaster gets by with an increasingly inventive arsenal of guns and gun-like gimmicks, all of his own creation. When a gun that shoots gas bombs or flares fails to solve the problem, Boone's unerring eye for trick shots make him an admirable enemy of evil. With the quirk resolution of a shootout solving most of his problems, no small amount of the average Gunmaster adventure is spent on Boone justifying his seemingly contradictory lifestyle. When his civilian identity is accused of cowardice, he thinks to himself, she may be right. I'm too cowardly to live by the principles I think are right. But then he goes on to insist, if I must resort to guns as they do, then I will be master of the weapon. My enemies have guns. I have better ones. They have skill. I will match that and better. If I must fight, then I will win. Gunmaster's torturers, only if I got a position, is a little harder to buy when Boone decides to take his gun shop on the road, seemingly seeking out trouble across the still wild, wild west. Along the way, he picks up a kid sidekick, Bullet, the gun boy who, in his civilian guise of Bob Teleb, oh, this is funny. Read it backward for a mediocre surprise. It's Bullet. He becomes Boone's apprentice. He also comes across a few colorful supervillains, like the wild Apache warrior Hawk, the corpulent criminal genius known as Brains, and hypnotic menace called the Barker. Despite acquiring a fledgling rogues gallery, a kid sidekick, and a graduation to his own title, Gunmaster's guns a-blazing faded away after a couple of dozen appearances. Years hoping he ended up in a place where he could abide by his peaceful beliefs.
Okay, and no, that doesn't sound like there was a giant spider in that one, Mordecai.
A giant spider?
Yeah, you said Wild Wild West, as in the movie.
Oh, the giant god. Yeah. Oh, Lord.
All right, let's
okay.
Get to the modern.
We have one more. We got one more. Yes, the modern age brings us one by created by Bill Mantlo. Percent of his body that is manufactured, 60%, just like his backstory. He debuted in The Human Fly, number 1, Marvel Comics, September 1977. His quote, "Blast, throwing me off balance, mag clamps tearing free, I'm being swept from the jet." And as you can tell from the name of the comic, he is The Human Fly.
Oh, no.
Few comic book characters can be said to be based on a real-life costume adventurer, but The Human Fly can. In 1976, a courageous Canadian in a custom-made full body costume and cape, calling himself the Human Fly, challenged big name performer Evel Knievel's dominance of the Daredevil circus, debuting with a high profile stunt involving quote unquote wing walking on an airborne DC-8 over the Mojave Desert. The event turned the Human Fly into a promotional juggernaut, and the subsequent marketing blitz included adding him to the lineup of Marvel Comics as a bona fide superhero for 19 issues. A four-color version of the Human Fly rubbed shoulders with established heroes like Spider-Man, Ghost Rider, and, appropriately enough, Daredevil. The Fly battled supervillains and saboteurs, plus the occasional robot bird for good measure, and performed an increasingly unlikely array of super stunts, from tightrope walking between dirigibles to riding a motorcycle up and down the Gateway Arch in St. Louis. Though the comic book Human Fly never revealed his identity, the real-life Fly is believed to be stuntman Rick Rojat. The comic book version's origin draws inspiration from the real-world Human Fly's promotional material. Badly injured in a devastating accident, the future hero has more than 60% of his body replaced with steel supports and is told he'll never walk again. Defying the odds, the Fly summons all his willpower, healing his body and dedicating himself to becoming a record-breaking stunt performer. His goal? To inspire others and raise funds for ailing children. Risking his neck for a noble goal is all well and good. Plus, it's a convenient way to move the story along. In issue after issue, the Human Fly finds himself facing down crooks looking to rob or sabotage his charity stunts. You wouldn't think it, but apparently charity events are magnets for trouble and disaster. The Human Fly disappeared from comics soon after the real-life Fly announced an end to his stunt career. To break a record set by Evel Knievel, the Human Fly attempted to jump a rocket-powered motorcycle at a predicted 300 miles per hour over an astonishing 26 school buses parked side by side. The result saw the bike and the Human Fly spin wildly out of control, leaving him with extensive injuries that ended his career. By comparison, the comic book version was allowed to happily walk away with his arms thrown chummily around his friend's shoulders, a happier and strangely quiet conclusion for such a bombastic character.
It's like, I remember it. Wide World of Sports. I know you remember that one. When Evel Knievel... Yeah.
And that you have, folks, this week's entries into the League of Regrettable Superheroes.
I'm trying to...
Alan, I don't want to see you going into a rocket car trying to jump school buses, young man.
No. Wasn't he also one of the people that tried to climb the World Trade Center?
It was him or a duplicate.
Yeah.
Because I do remember somebody calling themselves the Human Fly. I mean, I have seen so many quote-unquote human flies over the years trying to climb up the World Trade Center. I don't know if it was him or...
Or a copycat.
Right. That's what I mean. There's so many copycats over the years. Could have been him. But then again, the one who tried to climb the World Trade... Well, he was arrested at the end of it.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was him.
No, that was Spider-Man.
Because
that was the quote-unquote Spider-Man. I remember that
one. Oh, okay. Right, because I know one of them... At the end of it, he got arrested. So it wasn't like it was planned. I think if it was even why he would have had to like plan, you know what I mean? It would have been like a promotional thing. They would have had it set up and like safety nets and all this other stuff. So, but that was that.
I was just going like, I remember that. It was like, in the 70s, you know, everyone teamed with Spider-Man, you know. There is truth to the Family Guy joke. Everybody gets one.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody gets one.
Especially during the 70s. You know, if you're a new superhero, sooner or later, Spider-Man saves you. It was like, that's your one. You're not a superhero until you that happens. It's like I hate the modern part because it's like I remember. Oh God, I remember. Bad flashback. I'm kind of waiting for Ruby Dee, the woman with the red orb on her head.
Yes, yes.
And that was her head.
Goodness.
That was her head. Red orb.
Red orb. Jesus.
Or crazy quilt. God, there were so many bad ones in the 70s. So we got 9 minutes left.
We got nine. So for those, I want to bring this up. So for this weekend, I don't know if anybody plays Warhammer 40K. They had Warhammer Fest this weekend at the world headquarters in Europe and England, I think it is. Yeah, in England. They had a bunch of reveals each day. And it's funny because they had everybody tune in, and each day was only an hour. It was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Thursday was dedicated to Warhammer 40K, Warhammer 40,000. Friday was dedicated to Warhammer Fantasy. Saturday was dedicated to their box set games, like their Mighty games. Sunday. Hold on, wait. Wait, Thursday. Was the big one. That was dedicated to a new one coming out, everybody's been waiting for, called the Horus Heresy. Now, Warhammer 40K is the game we play now. Horus Heresy would be like Warhammer 30K. Okay? And let me tell you, they're putting this huge box set out. And everybody's like, oh, in U.S. dollars, this thing's going to be like $400. This thing's going to be like just under $250. So finally, and it's going to be around for a while. It's not like a limited edition thing. It's going to be available for a while. Like year round. So it's like, everybody's like, holy shit. So finally, Games Workshop is doing something right. So it's kind of cool. Very happy about that. And they also had the, what they call the Grand Tournament in Seattle.
Well, got time. Those who have noticed,
yes.
I have gotten the page for DawnCon fully active. And we've had a few additions. We have the notice of Alto Stacy. We have the notice of Evan Brooks will be coming back.
Oh, cool. Good.
Dave Matthews, too, of Battle Rock Comics, will be coming back.
Cool.
George Bosley.
Oh, wait. Challenge Matt.
Oh, no.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's here. States Mouse, his B is here. Da-da-da-da. Well done. He did it. He didn't have to wait till next week.
It has been asked for.
It
has been requested. The return of Fast and the Furious.
What number are we up to? Last year was Tokyo Drift, the second one. Oh, the third. This is the third one or the fourth one?
Yeah. Third, I think.
Third one. Wait. What do you mean, yeah? It's which one is it?
I think so. I have to check.
Third one? Check.
Like I said,
I got to fix.
Okay.
All right, let me know. I got to know which one.
And also,
I have name
we have a chat. We have a name challenge to the champions online group.
Hold on. Also, I've already paid for it. We have to start soon.
Yep.
MyExtraLife.org campaign.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but, City of Heroes, has thrown the gauntlet.
Oh?
A rematch of Family Feud.
Oh, geez. Okay.
And I do believe
okay,
there may be something in the formation on Champion.
Oh?
Yes.
Oh?
Mm-hmm.
Go on. Go
it
on.
May have a couple of bunnies.
Oh? Well, wait a minute. What team am I playing on?
Well, I guess we'll figure that out when Extra Life returns.
I will start drawing up the promotion.
There you go.
Okay. Also, we kick things off with the Fast and the Furious, but we're not going to say it yet. It's not going to end on Saturday. It's going to end on Sunday. It's going to end on Sunday with a special event for the Paragon Dawn DJs.
Ooh.
For the Dawn Radio DJs.
Okay.
Alto requested something from me.
Okay.
Should I mention it now?
Go ahead.
I said, how much time do I have? Do I have time to mention this? Okay. So he goes to me, you know, role-playing. I was like, okay, yeah. I want to do Champions Now. Well, you know what? We'll do Champions Now. I'll get the book out. I'll refresh my rules. We had the game we had to finish. We'll do it. We'll do it the Sunday after DawnCon. We'll do it that Sunday. We'll kick things off for the summer. He goes, no. All of a sudden he types in, I want to play D&D. I want you to DM. I nodded my head a few times, and he can't see me nodding my head. I'm nodding my head now. I went, okay. I went, what? It's like, what the hell makes you think I could DM? He goes, well, you're a great GM for Champions. I'm like, thanks for the compliment. Again, what makes you think goes, you used to play D&D? Back that up. I'm putting this in capital letters. I used to play Dungeons and Dragons. I was a player. I role-played my character. I wasn't a dungeon master. That was second edition. Granted, I bought the fifth edition books and I started watching Critical Role a few times. I rolled up a cool character, rolled a cool background. I have no fucking idea. I have. Gee, the last time I DM'd, I was 13. That was first edition. Second edition hadn't come out yet.
Way back when.
To show my age. Yeah. That's when, if you wanted to play a bard, you had to be a human, and you had to do all these funky, you had to have certain stats. You had to do like a, you had to be a human fighter, and then a thief. And then you had to become a druid. And then at that point, you were considered a bard. Like, the bards back then were like these mega classes. Now, it's like when second edition came, you could be a bard from day one.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, and it was like, why did you have to do all this shit to be a bard? What the hell is the big deal? So, wait, DJ Texas, I was there, Gandalf. I was there 3,000 years ago. Now roll initiative.
All right. Well, we got a minute to go.
I was there second edition. I was there through first, second, the option books. Third edition came out. We stopped playing.
Thanks.
Actually, our groups split up right before it came out, as it came out. So not our group. All right. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. You guys rock. Without you guys, me and Mad Viking, which is, well, we do a Skype call and talk about this shit by ourselves anyway. Anything you'd like to say in closing?
Get ready for
quickly.
The Greatest Generation on Dawn Radio and say goodnight, Gracie.
And goodnight, Gracie. All right. Get ready for the Greatest Generation podcast on dawnradio.live. Embrace the dawn. I'll see you next week. Stay tuned all week for the Dawn Radios. DJs, they're absolutely awesome. I'll see you guys next week, Monday night, 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio for Paragon Radio. See you next week, and we'll discuss more about this D&D campaign crap. I gotta go find my D&D books and start reading how to be a DM. I don't know how to be a DM. Are you kidding me? All right, we're out of here. Another gripe. Alto's gonna make the list soon. All right, we're out of here. Good night, everybody. I'm ending the show. Are you ready?
All right.
You there?
Yeah.
Ending the show in 3, 2, 1. Good night. Say good night. Last chance. Good night,
night.
All. Love you. You guys rock. Good night. You rock too, Mad Mikey. Thank you for doing the show. Good night, sir. We're out.